Chapter 39.
This was the last gate. I got out to open it since Tristan was driving, and looked back at the farm a long way below us now, and at the marks our tires had made on the steep, grassy slopes. Strange places, some of these Dales farms. This one had no road to it, not even a track. From down there you just drove across the fields from gate to gate till you got to the main road above the valley, and this was the last one. 10 minutes driving, and we'd be home. Tristan was acting as my chauffeur, as my left hand had been infected after a bad carving, and I had my arm in a sling. He didn't drive out through the gate, but got out of the car, leant his back against the gatepost, and lit a woodbine. Obviously he wasn't in any rush to leave. And with the sun warm on the back of his neck, and the 2 bottles of Whitbreads nestling comfortably in his stomach, I could divine that he felt pretty good. Come to think of it, it had been all right back there. He had taken some warts off a heifer's teats, and the farmer had said he shaped well for a young'un. Aye, you really framed it, job lad. And asked us in for a bottle of beer since it was so hot. Impressed by the ecstatic speed with which Tristan had consumed his, he had given him another. Yes, it had been all right. And I could see Tristan thought so too. With a smile of utter content, he took a long, deep gulp of moorland air and woodbine smoke and closed his eyes. He opened them quickly as a grinding noise came from the car.
Christ! She's off, Jim!
He shouted. The little Austin was moving gently backwards down the slope. It must have slipped out of gear, and it had no brakes to speak of. We both leapt after it. Tristan was near us, and he just managed to touch the bonnet with one finger. The speed was too much for him. We gave it up and watched. The hillside was steep, and the little car rapidly gathered momentum, bouncing crazily over the uneven ground. I glanced at Tristan. His mind invariably worked quickly and clearly in a crisis, and I had a good idea what he was thinking. It was only a fortnight since he had turned the hillman over, taking a girl home from a dance. It had been a complete write-off, and the insurance company had been rather nasty about it. And of course Siegfried had gone nearly berserk, and had finished by sacking him finally, once and for all. Never wanted to see his face in the place again. But he had been sacked so often, he knew he had only to keep out of his way for a bit and his brother would forget. And he had been lucky this time, because Siegfried had talked his bank manager into letting him buy a beautiful new rover, and this had blotted everything else from his mind. It was distinctly unfortunate that this should happen when he, as driver, was technically in charge of the Austin. The car appeared now to be doing about 70 miles per hour, hurtling terrifyingly down the long green slope. One by one the doors burst open till all 4 flapped wildly, and the car swooped downwards looking like a huge ungainly bird. From the open doors, bottles, instruments, bandages, cotton wool cascaded out onto the turf, leaving a long, broken trail. Now and again a packet of Nux Vomica and bicarb stomach powder would fly out and burst like a bomb, splashing vivid white against the green. Tristan threw up his arms.
Look! The bloody thing's going straight for that hut!
He drew harder on his woodbine. There was indeed only one obstruction on the bare hillside, a small building near the foot where the land levelled out, and the Austin, as if drawn by a magnet, was thundering straight towards it. I couldn't bear to watch. Just before the impact I turned away and focused my attention at the end of Tristan's cigarette, which was glowing bright red when the crash came. When I looked back down the hill, the building was no longer there. It had been completely flattened, and everything I had ever heard about houses of cards surged into my mind. On top of the shattered timbers, the little car lay peacefully on its side, its wheels still turning lazily. As we galloped down the hill, it was easy to guess Tristan's thoughts. He wouldn't be looking forward to telling Siegfried he had wrecked the Austin. In fact, it was something the mind almost refused to contemplate, but as we neared the scene of devastation, passing on our way syringes, scalpels, bottles of vaccine, it was difficult to see any other outcome. Arriving at the car, we made an anxious inspection. The body had been so bashed and dented before that it wasn't easy to identify any new marks. Certainly the rear end was pretty well caved in, but it didn't show up very much. The only obvious damage was a smashed rear light. Our hopes rising, we set off for the farm for help. The farmer greeted us amiably.
Now then, lads. Has to come back for more beer?
It wouldn't come amiss, Tristan replied. We've had a bit of an accident. We went into the house and the hospitable man opened some more bottles. He didn't seem disturbed when he heard of the demolition of the hut.
Nay, that's not mine. Belongs to the golf club. It's the clubhouse.
Tristan's eyebrows shot up.
Oh, no. Don't say we've fattened the headquarters of a Derby golf club. Aye, lad, you must have. It's the only wooden building in them fields. I rent that part of my land to the club, and they've made a little nine-hole course. Don't worry, hardly anybody plays on it. Mainly it's a bank manager, and I don't like that fellow anyway.
Mr. Prescott got a horse out of the stable, and we went back to the car and pulled it upright again. Trembling a little, Tristan climbed in and pressed the starter. The sturdy little engine burst into a confident roar immediately, and he drove carefully over the prostrate wooden walls onto the grass.
"Well, thanks a lot, Mr. Prescott,"
he shouted.
"We seem to have got away with it." "Champion, lad, champion! They're as good as new."
Then the farmer winked and held up a finger.
"Now you say nowt about this job and I'll say nowt, right?" "Right! Come on, Jim, get in!"
Tristan put his foot down and we chugged thankfully up the hill once more.